We do not have time to go into the detail that I would like to about the Garden of Eden, but let me just show you a couple of thoughts. If you will, go to quickly Ezekiel chapter 28. Ezekiel 28, starting in verse 13, is talking about Lucifer, who has become Satan, and where he was. Look at verse 13, Ezekiel chapter 28. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God, the garden of Eden, last part of verse 13, in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou went upon the holy mountain of God. That phrase, holy mountain of God, is used 18 times in the Old Testament. It's used twice here in Ezekiel chapter 28 as it's referring to the Garden of Eden, but it's then used throughout the entire rest of the Old Testament referring to the Temple Mount. We know that by the definition given in the prayer that Daniel offered, Daniel chapter 9 and verse 13, also in verse 20 of Daniel chapter 9, how he is praying for the holy mountain of God, which is Jerusalem. The holy mountain of God is the location of the Garden of Eden. This may be new to most Christian scholars, but it is not true to Orthodox Jewish scholars. For over 5,700 years, the Jews have believed that the Temple Mount and that foundation stone where the Holy of Holies was located, where the Ark of the Covenant rested in that temple that stood on the Temple Mount, that is the location where God brought into existence humankind. In other words, he created Adam there on that foundation stone. As you study the Word of God, you'll come to the conclusion that indeed Jerusalem is indeed the original site of the Garden of Eden. Go back with me just a moment and we'll look just a bit further into this. In Genesis chapter 2, we read about the special effects of creation, Genesis 1 creation, Genesis chapter 2, the special effects of creation, and we find out some information about the Garden of Eden. If you found Genesis chapter 2, notice with me, if you will, verse 8. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. We're talking about afterward. After he had created the earth, he is going to create the Garden of Eden. What happens on the third day of creation in Genesis chapter 1 is that he brings trees and grass into existence. Now keep your finger in chapter 2 and go back to chapter 1 and let's see the record of the third day of creation starting here in verse 11. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. And so he brings the trees, all of the trees, the tree of life, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and every other fruit tree in the Garden of Eden. And they were yielding fruit, by the way. That means that he created these fruit trees with age. They didn't have to evolve after God put a seed in the earth someplace. No, he created the trees bearing fruit, so thus they had age when they came into existence. But on the third day of creation, he brings into existence the Garden of Eden, located in the spot that we know as the Temple Mount or Mount Moriah in Jerusalem. Back in chapter 2 now, look at verse 9, and out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. I just made that statement a moment ago. Many people say, well, wait a minute, that's not the location of the Garden of Eden. It's over near the Tigris and the Euphrates River, and they have a special connection to the Garden of Eden. Well, I don't know where we get that from, because the Bible does not say that the Tigris and the Euphrates were near the original Garden of Eden. What the Bible does say in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 10, and a river went out of Eden. That is one river. The river went out of Eden for the purpose of watering the garden, and from thence, in other words, someplace outside, it was departed and became four different rivers. And then in verses 11 and 12 and 13, it mentions the names of these four rivers, the Pishon, the Gihon, the Tigris, and the Euphrates. Now today, we know where the Tigris and the Euphrates would be located. They start someplace up in Turkey. They extend through Syria, down through the area and the country of Iraq, all the way down through Kuwait into the Persian Gulf. Many have suggested that in Iraq is the original site of the Garden of Eden because of the location today of the Tigris and the Euphrates. Let me just ask you this question quickly. How do we know where the Tigris and the Euphrates were before the flood? You see, Genesis chapter 12 is at the time of creation before the flood. After the flood, the topography of the entire earth was changed. We know where the Tigris and the Euphrates is today. We have no idea as to where the Tigris and the Euphrates might have been before the flood took place in Genesis chapters 6, 7, and 8. What about the Pishon River? Anybody know where the Pishon is? I do not know, but I do know where the fourth river is. That's the Gihon River. The Gihon River comes out from underneath the Temple Mount. I talked with the archaeologist at the City of David, which was the original site of the city of Jerusalem. He has a son who is a Navy SEAL in the Israeli Navy, and a couple of his buddies joined him. They put on their scuba equipment. They got down in the Pool of Shalom, which is in the City of David, which is fed by the Gihon River, and they swam up underneath the Temple Mount, and there they found the headwaters for the Gihon River. Remember, that's where David, on his deathbed, got up, told his servant to go get some water from the Gihon, and he anointed King Solomon to be the next king of Israel. The Gihon River flows out from underneath the Temple Mount. Well, we don't have any more time to deal with this. Oh, by the way, let me just remind you of something. Chapter 2 of Revelation, verse 7 says, "To those who are overcomers, I will give to eat of the tree of life in the Garden of Eden." During the millennial kingdom, the tree of life will be on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. How do you think these people going with living bodies into the thousand-year kingdom period will be able to sustain life physically? They will eat from that tree of life. Remember Genesis chapter 3, God told the angels to guard the entrance to the Garden of Eden because of Adam and Eve, now in sin, were able to get into the garden and once again eat of the tree of life. They would live forever in their sin. There is much more we could talk about. That's all the time we have on this study of Revelation. But the reign of Jesus Christ, the thousand-year millennial kingdom, the promise found in the book of Daniel, and the people telling us that the Jews and the Gentiles in living bodies who have trusted Jesus Christ during the seven-year time of tribulation and judgment, the time of Jacob's trouble, they will enter into the millennial kingdom, even having children. The peace, it's going to be beautiful, and the entire animal world will be changed, and there will be peace for the first time on this earth. And of course, the paradise, the location for the headquarters of this millennial kingdom, the Garden of Eden, the Holy Mount in Jerusalem, the Temple Mount, where Jesus Christ rules and reigns from his temple, from the Holy of Holies, the one that he will have built there on the Temple Mount.